KSJE and the Farmington Public Library present Quinto's Hana and Tales.
Hello, my name is Kira Vigay. Today I will be telling you a story about the Navajo, which is written by Sarah Teague. Hundreds of years ago, North America was mostly wild, open land. Native Americans lived on the land. They had their own languages and customs. Did you know the Navajo call themselves Diné? This means the people. The Navajo are a Native American nation. They are known for their beautiful art and strong leaders. At first, the Navajo lived in Canada between 1100 and 1500. They moved south. They made their homelands in southwestern United States. The people lived in an area known as the Four Corners. This is where present-day New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and Utah meet. Land in the southwest has mountains, deserts, canyons, and forests. It is rich in minerals. The Navajo lived in homes called hogans. These were usually made of mud or dirt and logs. But sometimes they were made of stones. Did you know some hogans are built specially for ceremonies? Hogans were often round. Some were a rounded shape with 6 or 8 sides. The door was always on the east side. The Navajo believed this welcomed the rising sun and brought them blessings. The Navajo were mainly farmers. Their crops included corn, beans, and squash. They also grew fruit such as peaches. Did you know early Navajo were not farmers? When they moved to the southwest, they learned farming from the Pueblo people. In addition, men hunted deer, prairie dogs, rabbits, and mountain goats. The women gathered berries and other wild plants. The Navajo farmed mostly during the summer. The fields flooded with water, which helped the crops grow. The people also raised animals such as sheep and goats. These provided wool, meat, and milk. The Navajo had different jobs. Some were farmers, warriors, hunters, leaders, or medicine men. Others learned to make art such as jewelry. Navajo women were especially known for their weaving skills. Learning was important for Navajo children. They learned by watching the adults and elders. They helped with chores. Children also played games and had dolls and toys. The Navajo made the objects they needed for daily life. They are especially known for their creativity and artistry. Religion was important to the Navajo. The Navajo prayed, sang, danced, and made art to honor their gods. The tribe's medicine men led dances, rituals, and ceremonies. Sometimes a ceremony included 1 or 2 people. Other times it included thousands of Navajo. A ceremony was meant to heal people and bring them blessings. The Navajo told stories. These stories could teach people history or lessons. Some simply entertained them. Sometimes stories were shared through pottery designs or other art. For many years, they weren't written down. The Navajo are known for their stories about evil beings called skinwalkers. They believe skinwalkers wear animal skins and travel at night. Some Navajo believe it is bad luck to speak of them. Spanish settlers first met the Navajo in the 1600s. The Navajo did not like their customs, and sometimes the Spanish took them as slaves. Together with the Pueblo and Apache tribes, they fought off Spanish settlers. In the 1800s, American soldiers and settlers began to move west. They traveled through and settled on Navajo land. The Navajo were strong fighters. They often attacked them to protect their land and way of life. The U.S. government wanted to stop these attacks. In 1864, the U.S. government forced the Navajo off their land. They made them walk more than 300 miles to a small poor reservation in New Mexico. This sad event is now called the Long Walk. About 2,000 Navajos died on the walk and at the reservation. The Navajo fought to get their homeland back. Chief Manuelito worked with the U.S. government. Today, The Navajo have the largest reservation in the United States. They have more than 24,000 square miles of land in New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah. The people have a long, rich history. They are known for their woven rugs and silver jewelry. They are a large, strong nation. Navajo's roots run deep today. Today, the people have kept alive those special things that make them Navajo. Even though times change, many people carry the traditions, stories, and memories of the past into the present. Quote, "My children's education is a ladder to all our needs. Tell our people to take it." End of quote. Chief Manuelito. The end.
Hello, my name is Isabel Sheasley. I go to Ladera del Norte Elementary School, and I'm in fourth grade. Today, I'll be telling the story of Ferdinand by Monroe Leaf. Once upon a time in Spain, there was a little bull, and his name was Ferdinand. All the other little bulls he lived with would run and jump and butt their heads together. But not Ferdinand. He liked to just sit quietly and smell the flowers. He had a favorite spot out in the pasture under a cork tree. It was his favorite spot, and he would sit in the shade all day and smell the flowers. Sometimes his mother, who was a cow, would worry about him. She worried that he would be lonesome all by himself. "Why don't you run and play with the other little bulls and skip and butt your head?" she would ask. But Ferdinand would just shake his head. "I like it better here, where I can just sit quietly and smell the flowers." His mother saw that he was not lonesome, and she was an understanding mother, even though she was a cow. She let him just sit there and be happy. As the years went by, Ferdinand grew and grew until he was very big and very strong. All the other bulls who had grown up with him in the same pasture would fight each other all day. They would run and jump and bite each other and stick each other with their horns. What they wanted most of all was to be picked to fight at the bullfights in Madrid. But not Ferdinand. He still just liked to sit quietly and smell the flowers. One day, five men came in very funny hats to pick the biggest, fastest, roughest bull to fight at the bullfights in Madrid. All the other bulls ran around, puffing and snorting, jumping and leaping, and sticking each other with their horns, so the men would think that they were very, very strong and fierce and pick them. Ferdinand knew they wouldn't pick him, and he didn't care, so he went out to his favorite cork tree to sit down. But he didn't look where he was sitting, and instead of sitting on the nice, cool grass, he sat on a bumblebee. "Well, if you were a bumblebee and a bull sat on you, what would you do to him?" "You would sting him." And this is just what this bumblebee did to Ferdinand. "Wow, they're hurt." Ferdinand jumped up with a snort. He ran around, puffing and snorting, jumping and leaping, butting and pawing the ground as if he were crazy. The firemen all saw him, and they shouted with joy. Here was the biggest and fiercest bull of all, just the right one for the bullfights in Madrid. So they took him away for the bullfight day in a cart. What a day it was! Flags were flying, bands were playing, and all the lovely ladies had flowers in their hair. They had a parade into the bullfight ring. First came the banderillas with sharp pins with ribbons on them to stick in the bull and make him mad. Next came the picadors who rode skinny horses. They had long sharp spears to stick in the bull and make him madder. Then came the matador, the proudest of all. He thought he was very handsome and bowed to all the ladies. He had a cape and a sword and was supposed to stick the bull last of all. And then came the bull. And don't you know who that was, don't you? Ferdinand. They called him Ferdinand the Fierce, and the bannerwolves were afraid of him, and the picadors were afraid of him, and the matador was scared stiff. Ferdinand ran to the middle of the ring, and everyone shouted and clapped because they thought he was going to fight fiercely and stick his horns around. But not Ferdinand. When he got to the middle of the ring, he saw all the flowers and lovely ladies' hair, and he just sat down quietly and smelled. He wouldn't fight and be fierce no matter what they did. He just sat and smelled, and the banderoles were mad, and the picadors were madder, and the matador was so mad, he cried because he couldn't show off with his cape and sword. So they had to take Ferdinand home. And for all I know, he's sitting there still, under his favorite cork tree, smelling the flowers just quietly. He is very happy. The end.
Hi, my name is Josephine Sheasley. I go to Ladera de la Norte Elementary School, and I am in fourth grade. Today I'll be telling you the story, Alicia and the Little Monster, written by Bill Hartley. Some kids think sometimes there's a monster under their bed. Of course, that's just their imaginations. There's nothing really there. But in Alicia's case, there actually was a monster under the bed. She heard it every night when she went to bed. Her mom would come in, give her a goodnight kiss, get up, turn off the lights, walk out, close the door, and leave. Alicia would hear the monster. She would say, "Mom, there's a monster! Quick, quick!" Her mother would run inside, turn on the lights, get down on her hands and knees, look under the bed, and say, "Honey, there's nothing there." "But no, there's nothing there. I heard it, Mom." "No, there's nothing there. It's just your imagination, honey. And I don't want to come in here again." "Yep, no. You go to sleep." Her mom would leave, turn out the lights, close the door, and the monster would say, She'd say, "Mom, it's laughing, quick!" Her mom would run inside, turn on the lights, get down on her hands and knees, look under the bed and say, "Honey, there is nothing there." "But I heard it." "No. Yet, no. Yet, no. I'm not coming in here again. It's your imagination. Now you have to go to sleep." "But no. No more." And her mom would leave. The monster would say, Mostly what the monster would do would be sing. He had a song he'd sing himself to sleep with every night. It went like this. "I'm a little monster underneath the bed. I'm a little monster with a fuzzy head." Just like that, he'd seen the song fall asleep. But in the morning when Alicia got up, she'd get out of bed and look under the bed. She wasn't afraid to look under the bed in the morning, not the daytime. When she looked under the bed, there was nothing there. So the next night when she went to bed, her mom would give her a goodnight kiss and leave. The monster would start to sing. "I'm a little monster, I'm underneath the bed." Alicia would say, "Where do you go? Where do you go when my mom comes in here? Where do you go in the daytime when I look under the bed? Where do you go?" And the monster would say, I guess things would have gone on like that until one night the monster sang its song but didn't fall asleep. It went like this.
"I'm a little monster underneath the bed. I'm a little monster with a fuzzy head. I'm still awake. I've seen it again.
I sing it again, a little bit faster to fall asleep a little bit faster. I'm a wooden monster underneath the bed. I'm a wooden monster with a fuzzy hood. I'm still awake, I'll sing it again. He's saying it faster and faster. I'm a wooden monster underneath the bed. I can't go to sleep. The harder he tried to go to sleep, the less he could sleep until finally he'd say, I can't sleep. Alicia would say, just calm down and sing your song. You go to sleep.
No, it's not working,
Alicia said. Just sing the song. No, I need something to hold. Something to hold? Alicia had something to hold. She had a blanket ever since she was really little. But she was not about to give her blanket to the monster under the bed. No way, it was her blanket. But right by her bed was a chair. It was part of a desk chair combination her mom had gotten her. On the chair was a sweater. There are two things that were special about that sweater. The first thing that was special about that sweater was that it had been knit especially for Alicia by her Aunt Renee. Her Aunt Renee was her mom's sister, and she knitted it for Alicia for her birthday. That was the first thing that was special about the sweater. The second thing that was special about the sweater was Alicia hated it. She didn't hate her aunt. She just hated the sweater. It was made of wool. It had a very tight neck, so it was scratchy around the neck. It was also scratchy around the cuffs. It had these little animals that her aunt had knitted into the bottom, and her aunt said they were dogs, but they didn't really look like dogs. They looked more like pigs. The whole thing really kind of bothered her, and her mom was always trying to get her to wear the sweater. Alicia would say, I hate that sweater. Her mom would say, don't say that. That morning, her mom had tried to get her to wear the sweater, and Alicia wouldn't wear it, so it was sitting there on the chair. Alicia said, wait a minute, what about this? She reached across the room without getting out of bed. She grabbed the sweater. She said, try this, and she threw it under the bed. The monster said, ooh. Then she heard the monster moving around under the bed, doing something. And then she heard the monster say,
I'm a little monster with a fuzzy sweater. I'm a little monster, now I'm feeling better.
It worked. Alicia said, hey, Mom, the monster went to sleep. Her mom called in, that's nice, honey. You go to sleep, too. And she did. Alicia went to sleep. The next morning, she jumped right out of bed, looked under the bed, but there was no monster, no sweater. The next night when she went to bed, her mom gave her a goodnight kiss and left, turned off the lights. The monster started to sing,
I'm a little monster with a fuzzy sweater.
Alicia said, where'd he go when my mom comes in here? Where'd he go when I look under the bed in the daytime? But the monster just said, I guess things would have gone on just like that until one night her mom came to her and said, guess what, honey? What, Mom? Guess who's coming? Who? My sister, your Aunt Renee is coming to visit tomorrow. Alicia said, oh boy! Yeah, her mom said. She's coming, and we're going to go out to a nice restaurant, so I want you to wear your really good clothes. Alicia said, okay. And Alicia, honey, I want you to wear that nice sweater that Aunt Renee made you. Alicia said, Mom, I don't know where it is. Her mom said, it's gotta be in your room, honey. You never wear it. No, Mom, it's not there. It's gotta be in your room. If you took better care of your things, you know where it was. She said, no, Mom, I gave it to the monster. Her mom said, don't start that monster business. Now, if you go in there and look, I'm sure you'll find it. Alicia knew it wasn't there. She didn't know where it was, but she knew it wasn't there. So that night, when her mom gave her a goodnight kiss, left, and turned off the lights, the monster started to sing,
I'm a little monster. With a fuzzy sweater.
Alicia said, excuse me. The monster stopped singing. Alicia said, I have to have that sweater back. You have to give it back to me. The monster didn't say anything. She said, I'm sorry, but you've got to give it back to me. I have to have it now because I have to wear it. The monster said, no, this is my sweater. You gave it to me. I know, but I have to have it tomorrow. So he had to give it to me.
No, I want this water. I have to have it to sweep. I can't,
Alicia said. But I, no,
I have to have this water. I have to have it to sweep.
Alicia said, wait a minute.
I have to have this water.
Alicia said, wait. On the chair that night was a sweatshirt that she had worn that day. She said, what about this? She reached out. She got the sweatshirt. She threw it under the bed. The monster said, that's not a sweater. That's a sweatshirt. I can wear that. I have to have a sweater. Alicia said, all right, all right. She didn't want to do it, but she did. She jumped out of bed. She did not look under the bed. She ran across the room until she got to her chest of drawers. She dropped down on her knees. She pulled open the bottom drawer where all the sweaters were. She took another one out and threw it under the bed. What about that? The monster said, no, that's a green sweater. I don't even like green. Alicia said, what about this one? No, I don't like that sweater either. I want my sweater. What about, no? She said, what about some pants? The monster said, no, I don't need pants. What about shirts? No. What about socks? No. What about underwear? No, I told you I don't want underwear. I want my sweater. Alicia said, what about this? You can have my soccer ball. She put the soccer ball under the bed. The monster said, that's a soccer ball. I don't even like soccer. He kicked the ball. Boom, it hit the wall. Alicia's mom said, what is going on in there? Alicia said, I'm trying to get the sweater back from the monster. Her mom said, Alicia, I don't want to come in there. Alicia said, well, then don't. The monster was like,
I can't sleep without my sweater.
Alicia said, okay, stop crying. The monster was crying. Alicia got back in the bed and said, it's okay, I won't take the sweater. It's all right. The monster cried itself to sleep, and Alicia fell asleep too. She woke up the next morning. She got out of bed. She looked under the bed. No monster. No sweater. Just all those other clothes from her drawers. She went downstairs and had her breakfast. Then her friend came over, and they went out to play in the backyard. After a while, her mom called out and said, honey, it's time to come in. You gotta get dressed up. We're gonna go out pretty soon. Alicia ran inside. She went into her room. She put on her best dress. She put on her dress shoes. They got on too small for her, but she still put them on. Then she went into the kitchen and hoped her mom forgot, because sometimes they do. Her mom said, honey, you look so nice. You're such a big girl. Alicia said, thanks, Mom. Her mom said, now go in your room and get that sweater. Mom, no, just go put it on. Mom, I don't know where. Honey, it's got to be in your room. Mom, I don't know where it is. I told you I gave it to the monster. Her mother said, I have had it with this monster business. Fine, I'll find the sweater if you don't want to find it, and you are going to wear that sweater. Her mother walked into her room. Alicia followed her. Her mom walked over to the chest of drawers. She pulled up the bottom drawer and said, honey, where are all your sweaters? Her mother pulled up the next drawer. Where are your pants? The next drawer. Where are your shirts? The next drawer. Where are your socks? Where are all your clothes? Alicia said, they're under the bed. What are they doing under the bed? I told you, Mom, I tried to give them to the monster. Her mother said, I have had it. I don't know. I am so upset with you. I have to get dressed myself. I don't have anything to say to you. Her mother walked out of the room. Alicia sat on the bed. She hated it when her mom was mad at her. She hated it more than anything else. She heard her mom in her own bedroom talking to herself. Doesn't take care of her things. Don't know why anyone gives her anything nice at all. Blah, 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 blah. Then she heard her mother say, I am so upset I can't even find my own shoes. Where are they? Maybe they're under the bed. Then she heard her mother scream. Alicia never heard her mother scream like that before. She jumped off the bed, ran out the door, down the hallway, into her mom's room. Her mom was standing in the corner, shaking like a leaf. Alicia said, Mom, what is it? Her mother said, it's under the bed! Alicia said, "What's under the bed?"
"The monster!"
Alicia ran over to the bed, dropped down on her knees. She looked under the bed. And there it was.
"I'm a little monster, and I got some news. I'm a little monster with some fancy shoes."
The monster was underneath the bed. He was wearing Alicia's sweater. The monster was fat, and the sweater was on inside out and ripped down the sides. It was ruined. On the monster's feet were her mother's fancy dress shoes. Alicia said, "Oh, so that's where you go." The monster said, "Ugh." Alicia's mom said, "Honey, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I yelled at you. I didn't believe you. I'm sorry." Alicia said, "That's okay, Mom. It is hard to believe." Her mom said, "What are we going to wear?" Alicia said, "Mom, we could wear anything we want, and Renee won't mind." And they did, and she didn't, and that is the end of that. The end.
This has been Quintos Hana and Tales, presented by the Farmington Public Library and KSJE 90.9 FM.